لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Which one of you is best in your deeds? All of life was created as a test. So there is no way that there is any human being on this planet that is not being tested. Now sometimes we foolishly walk around and we think, wow, he's so lucky, Allah doesn't test him. Right? Or he's so lucky, he has everything. This guy is a billionaire. He has everything he could ever dream of. That person is also undergoing tests. There is not one human being on this planet that is not undergoing tests. And it is the only way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to verify iman. It comes another place in the Quran. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Do you think that you're going to enter Jannah? وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. When that which had befallen the people before you has not yet hit you. مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالْضَرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَكُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. So they were shaken. The base under their feet was shaken. Right? They were just completely tested to the extreme. And that's exactly what will come upon any person that claims to believe. It's part of the package. Now what we don't recognize is that these tests come in every single shape, size, color, and flavor. It's not that it's going to be some huge test that's going to hit you, and then all of a sudden you're going to say, I'm in a test, I need to react. No, Allah tests you at every moment in every way. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Or how does He create this game called life? He puts people together, and invariably those people create challenges for one another. Alright? There's always going to be a mother-in-law challenging a daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law challenging a mother-in-law. Right? There's always going to be some child challenging their parent, or some parent challenging their child. Or there's going to be some elder in the community challenging somebody younger in the community. Or there's going to be two brothers in the community. These challenges will always exist, and we have to recognize that every single interaction is a mechanism by which the siddq of our iman is being tested. Sometimes we're so quick to respond, right? We put the sharia on the side for 3 minutes because nobody else is undergoing the test that I'm going. You know, nobody has a mother-in-law like me. You guys don't understand, right? This is my mother-in-law. She's the toughest one. So for 5 minutes, I'm going to put my iman on the side and give it to her, right? And then I'm going to put my iman back in my heart. But that's not the way it works. That was the test. The moment you took the iman out of your heart to give it to her, you failed. This is how Allah tests us. And it happens between husband and wife. It happens between wife and husband. It happens between son and father, father and son, daughter, etc. There is no way around this. This is the way life is. Which is why it's important for us to recognize that this is what the sharia demands of us. A, B, C, D, E, and we stand firm on that sharia. Istiqama ala sharia. That's what defines us. And that's how we choose our battles. When we get angry, it's not because someone did something to us, it's because the sharia was broken. And when we're happy, it's not because somebody treated us well, it's because the sharia, the mandates of the sharia were fulfilled. That's when an individual's iman, what they claim from their tongue, becomes what they actually are. But this is the challenge, and it doesn't come easy. It takes 30 years, 20 years, 15 years just to get maybe 5 or 10% of the way along this path. Because we're constantly being challenged and we're constantly igniting and failing in each circumstance. So what you have to recognize is that when you deal with life, you almost have to step outside of your body. And you're kind of watching yourself and you're making sure that you don't destroy yourself. Right? Zayd has to make sure that he has to protect himself against Zayd. Because Zayd gets angry. Zayd wants things that he shouldn't have. Zayd looks at things that he shouldn't look at. Zayd goes places where he shouldn't go. So you're almost stepping outside of yourself and then holding yourself back, saying, no, you can't do that. No, you can't say something at this point. No, you need to put your head down and say, Alhamdulillah, and accept whatever the circumstance is. Because that's the challenge of life. And this is just something that is so obvious, yet so misunderstood. You can't have, first of all, there is no one that's not being tested, right? This is what we like to think. Nobody else is being tested. I'm the one being tested like this. The whole world is just enjoying, and only the tests are coming on me. So that's the first thing that Shaitan puts in our head. So that gives us an excuse, because once we're convinced of that, then we have an excuse to act a little bit outside of the norm, because we have a very extreme circumstance. So if my circumstance is extreme, then my behavior can be absolutely extreme as well. Doesn't matter if it's outside of the Sharia. So this is the one thing that Shaitan creates in our mind. So we have to recognize that everybody is undergoing tests. And the second thing that Shaitan then creates in our mind is that, you know, this is justified. Well, this person acted like this with me, so I have to act back like that with them. But if otherwise, what would the test be? If somebody comes and gives you a hug and a kiss every day and gives you a box of candy, then what is that? That's not a test. That's not a test. That would then be just, you know, just a joke. The reality of the test is that it's going to be difficult. It's going to be that thing that you're most weak in. That person that most quickly gets underneath your skin. That person that is able to drive you crazy when nobody else can. That's when the test will come. That's the way Allah creates this test. So we have to sit down and recognize that at every moment and every interaction, we have to protect ourselves against ourselves. Make sure that we don't do something foolish that we'll regret a few minutes later, or maybe a few days later, or maybe on the day of judgment. So this is what we're constantly doing. We're thinking, this is the test. This is the test. Okay, here's my test. Because these tests come 5 or 10 in a day. So every moment you're thinking, you know, you're taking one step slowly. Imagine if you're walking, imagine, I don't know if you've ever, you know, read anything about this topic, but when these people have all these big wars, then they put all these landmines in the desert or in the ground, wherever the war is, right? And then when the war is over 10, 15 years later, the entire field is full of mines. Now what happens when somebody has to cross that field? They take one step, and then they take a deep breath. Then they take another step, then they take a deep breath, right? Then they look everywhere, they carefully decide where they're going to make their next step, they hold their breath, they make the next step. This is the same way we have to be. Because number one, we're matches. We ignite very easily. And number two, there's heat everywhere around us. There's friction everywhere around us. So the possibility of igniting and destroying everything that we work so hard for exists in any moment. So before you make an interaction with someone, think and take a deep breath and say, okay, what would the sunnah be in this situation? You know, what, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to be very careful about the environment around me. Let me take one step forward and breathe. And if I survive that, alhamdulillah. Right, let me hold my breath again, look carefully where I'm going to go, take the next step, and then breathe, and then say alhamdulillah. The only safety exists in the masjid, which is why we come into the masjid, right? This is the place where we're safe, maybe the masjid, and then maybe our homes. So when we come in a place like this, alhamdulillah, although nowadays that's even changing, but there's relatively less friction in the masjid. So that protects us, right? And it allows us to build ourselves so that we're less likely to be flammable. But anyway, there is no way that we will not be tested. And the tests come in every shape, size, color, and flavor. And number two, there is no way that our iman will be verified except through these tests. So you have to recognize them. You have to think about them. You have to know that they fall on you at every moment, at every place, in every way. And then you have to learn, what does the Sharia demand from me at this instance? How am I supposed to be a son? How am I supposed to be a daughter? What type of father am I supposed to be? What type of brother am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to treat the people in the community? How do I treat my mother-in-law? How do I treat my husband? How do I treat my wife? Etc., etc., etc. These are all parts of knowledge. And it's when an individual begins to seek out these types of knowledge that then Allah gives them the tawfiq to be able to act on that type of knowledge. If you randomly decide that this is the way I'm going to act because this is the way I want to act, you'll never succeed. Never. You have to go to the source. You have to go to the wahi. You have to see what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about how you should be with your family, about how you should be with your parents, about how you should be with your friends. Then and only then will you be able to protect yourself against these exams. This was the mercy of the messenger. This was the mercy of the messenger that in the landmine called life, he provided us with a path through which we could survive. Amazing. How many mines there are. This isn't one mine every mile. This is one mine every step. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he showed us how to walk through such a difficult mine, right? Difficult landmine, unscathed. Unscathed. If a person just closes their eyes, you don't even need to look. You just close your eyes and see, where are the footsteps, where did the footsteps of Rasulullah go? You know, where were his footsteps? And you just have to close your eyes and put your foot on top of where his foot was. And then put your next foot on top of where his next foot was, and you walk through this earth unscathed. But that's the secret. I mean, we try to come up with our own ideas, we try to come up with our own ways, we ask advice from people who are absolute fools to ask advice from. They have no clue about the Sunnah or the Sharia, right? But we go to them because we know that they're going to side with us, and they're going to tell us what we want to hear. We don't want to hear what we have to do. We want to hear what we want to do. So then we begin to create this environment around us, and everything blows up. We're not happy. Nothing works out. We're constantly upset. Everything's always bickering and fighting, and then we're wondering why. Of course, life's a test, and if we start following the foolish, you're going to get your leg blown off. Then you're going to get your other leg blown off because these people don't think, they just walk. So you have to recognize that the Sharia has outlined the path to perfection for you. And that the kalima is just the first step in there. And then beyond that, the development of an individual will come through their dhikr, through their Quran, through their company, through following the sunnah, through enacting the Sharia. All right? And then bowing down and submitting where the submission calls you to let go, and standing up where you have to stand up. But anyway, those are lengthy discussions, but the principle is general. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to be among those who succeed in their test drive, and to be among those who avoid the minds of this dunya, of the dangerous minds that exist in this dunya called life. وَآخِرَ الدَّعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ